Hey everyone, thanks for checking out our message podcast today. If you're new to the podcast, my name is Andy and I oversee our digital ministry here at Bridgepoint. Let me ask you, have you ever played a new game and not known exactly what to do? One of the first things we do is we read the rules. We turn to the instructions written by the game's designer as a guide and the structure that will shape our experience. Wouldn't it be great if there was a rulebook for life? Not one that limited us, but one that helped us to enjoy a life lived freely. Today, we're wrapping up our Navigating Deep Waters series. In this message, we have learned what it means to have a below-the-surface faith. And in this last message, Travis teaches that we're not just to know about our faith, we're to live it. And we can do that by watching Jesus.
Well, again, happy Sunday, Bridgepoint. How are we doing? We good? Want to welcome everybody who's at our downtown campus, tuning in Seminole, Clearwater, throughout Pinellas County, watching online. Whether you're watching live or later in the week via YouTube or a podcast, we're glad that you are with us. Wherever you are, whenever you're joining us, however you're joining us, God is doing some really cool stuff here at Bridgepoint Church, and we're glad that you are with us today. We are wrapping up a series, a sermon series that we have called Navigating Deep Waters. This is a series where we've been looking at the problem with emotionally unhealthy spirituality. We've been looking at the importance of knowing ourselves better so that we can understand God better. Who we are and who we're not helps us to understand who God is. Throughout this series, we have explored some really cool topics and themes. We've looked at the importance of embracing our past, not just the joys and the wonderful parts of our past, but also embracing the not so joyful, the not so good parts of our past. We've looked at what it means to journey through crisis, journeying through those times where we're questioning God, wondering if God is present, wondering if God is near, wondering if God is with us. We've looked at how do we persevere through crisis? How do we persevere through times of grief and loss? And we've also looked at the importance of rest. In this busy go, go, go world, the importance of taking time to stop, to get away, and to be in God's presence, Sabbath rest. And we've also looked at how we might be able to grow into emotionally and spiritually healthy adults. We've been following this book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, written by Peter Scazzaro, and we've had some classes at various campuses throughout the week. And so we have been kind of cruising through some of the information in this book. And in the last chapter of his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Scazzaro makes this push for developing a rule of life. He makes a push for the importance of having a rule for us to live by, a rule for Christians to live by, a general rule to follow as we go through life, a plan for ordering our lives around what is most important. And so the big question that I want us to kind of start from today is this: is there a rule for living a Christian life? Is there a standard? Is there a rule book? Is there a playbook? Is there a rule, a way that we are to go about living a Christian life? And the scripture that I want us to start from today suggests that there is a rule. It does not call it a rule, but it suggests that there is a rule for living the Christian life. And it points to how we might be able to go about living it out in our everyday lives, everywhere we go, every interaction that we have. The scripture that we're about to look at comes from the New Testament book of Ephesians. Ephesians is a book of the Bible. It's found in the New Testament, but it's actually a letter. It's a letter that's written by a guy named Paul, and it's written to various churches throughout a place called Ephesus. All right, this letter to the Ephesians church, churches in Ephesus, it can be read as kind of one continuous sermon. It's very pastoral in nature. The first part of the letter, Paul begins offering them some encouragement. He gives them some instruction and some guidance, and then he moves on to talk about theology and doctrine, what they are to believe and how they are to live it out, the practice that they are to show as the church. And then he highlights some of the characteristics of what it means to maintain unity in the church. The importance of unity, being unified as the body of Christ. And then after covering some of these important topics, Paul begins to focus on what sets them apart. What makes them different, what sets them apart as the church, what makes them different and sets them apart as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. And it's almost like Paul begins describing what it looks like to live a spiritually healthy life. What does it look like to live a healthy life as a Christ follower, as a Christian? And he does this by contrasting two different ways of life. It's the old life and the new life, kind of the unhealthy life and the healthy life, the pre-Christian in your life and the life with Christ. It's a contrast that's made evident towards the end of Ephesians 4, which is where we're going to pick up today. Ephesians 4, verse 17, Paul writes this, "Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds." All right, Paul starts out with saying, what I'm about to write to you is both true and it is important. He says, this I affirm and insist on. He says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles live. All right, so the Gentiles, Gentile, it refers to a non-Jewish person. So from a Jewish perspective, Gentiles were people who did not know God. They were viewed as pagans. They were people who worshiped false gods. They didn't live up to God's standards. They did not live by God's ways and order their life around God's ways and around scripture. And so Paul here is referring to their morals and their ethics. He's referring to this pagan mindset, a pagan way of life. And he's saying, don't live like the Gentiles. Don't live like this. And just to make sure that they're tracking with him, he describes this kind of life that he's talking about in the very next verse. Picking up in verse 18, listen to what Paul writes. About the Gentiles, he says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. All right, so licentiousness, we all know what that word means, right? It's the word that we always text. We're usually using in text messages. And so when we type it out and we misspell it, it autocorrects, it comes back. We all know what it means. But if you don't know what licentiousness means, it means promiscuous. So he said, they have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to a promiscuous lifestyle, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Obviously, Paul is not one to tiptoe around his thoughts, right? He doesn't kind of mince his words. He sees it and he says it like it is. So he's basically saying, don't be like the Gentiles because they don't understand. They are separated from God. They are ignorant of God's ways and they live like people who do not care about God or how God calls them to live. And he makes it clear as Christians, they're not to live the way that they did before knowing Christ, as if they are ignorant of God, giving into their selfish, their impure, and their greedy desires. Paul suggests that as people who follow Christ as Christians, their life is to look different. Their life isn't just to be different and to think that it's different. Their life is to look and show up a bit different. And he continues the same point in verses 20 through 24. Let's keep reading. He says, that is not the way you learned Christ. For surely you have heard about him and you were taught in him as truth is in Jesus. He goes on to say, you were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Friends, the point that Paul is making here is once somebody hears about Jesus, once somebody learns about Jesus, once somebody embraces the truth and the knowledge of Jesus, then change should occur in their life. That former way of life, that former way of living, it stops. The old self, it must be put away. Everything related to the old must go, and a new life is taken on. He says, when we encounter Jesus, when we encounter Jesus Christ, our minds are renewed, our lives are changed, and things should be different from that point on. So let me tell you a story. We have been doing some home renovations in the James house over the past couple of months. We decided that we would change some of the inside, some of the outside. We bought the house 5 years ago. We liked the house, but it just didn't flow in the way we would like for it to flow. So we thought it needed some adjustments and some changes. And so we decided we would take out some cabinets and some counters. We'd move some walls and some doors. We had this step down off into the other side of the house that was like 3 or 4 inches step down. We wanted to pour some concrete, have someone come in, pour the concrete, level it up, just help to kind of create better space, better flow, update some of the fixtures, you know, just getting some things done. And after we started the work and got this work going, everything was different. We could notice the change, right? Nothing looked the same. But here was the catch. After making these adjustments, after making these changes, we still had to learn how to live in this newly renovated, newly changed house. You see, I was used to the old house, the old way. I knew where the walkways were, the hallways, where the doors were. I could cruise through in the middle of the night with no lights on and make my way to the kitchen and get a glass of milk out of the fridge and get back to the room without worrying about tripping over anything at all. That step down, kids could just cruise right by running through the house, million miles an hour. Nothing was bad. We knew it. We were familiar with it. We were comfortable with it. But after these changes were made in our house, I kept living as if I was in the old house. You see, that step down that I'd worried about tripping over or others tripping on in the house, nobody tripped on it for 5 years, but once the concrete was poured and we got it all level, I was anticipating the step down. So I'm walking through the house and just kind of buckle because I think I'm stepping down and I'm not. That's not the worst of it. Some mornings I'd wake up and get out of bed and I'm kind of groggy. So there's my excuse. I'm tired. I'm wiping the sleep out of my eyes. And I walk over to the side of the room where our door used to be in the bedroom. And I'm just staring at the wall because we have moved it 10 feet this way. And so to get out of the master bedroom, I have to walk over this way. And once I get out into the house, out into the kitchen, in the main living space, then I'm just kind of on my phone or I'm walking up and I'm stopping at walls, realizing that we moved the wall this way and I need to walk this way. Kids are concerned. My wife's looking at me like, what's happening? Is he all there? But I was used to the old way and I had to learn this new way of living in this changed, renovated in this new space. Friends, I believe that Paul is suggesting this very same concept to the Ephesians, suggesting that once somebody encounters Jesus in their life, once somebody encounters Christ, their life is changed. Their life is overhauled. Their life is renovated. Things look different. Things are not the same. And as a result, we have to learn how to live that new way of life. We have to learn and develop a new way of maneuvering through life. And this is what Paul begins to focus on at the start of the very next chapter in Ephesians 5, 1. You see, after telling them to put away that old life, after saying, don't live like that old self, get rid of all the sin, the immorality, the greed, and the anger, after reminding them that Jesus teaches something different, that Jesus models and reflects something different and invites them to experience something different, Paul goes on to kind of give this, let's say, a rule of life. It's kind of a rule for them to follow, a standard for them to guide their life, a way to order their life. And so listen to what he writes in chapter 5, verse 1. Paul writes, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Listen to how it's read in the message. Watch what God does and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Paul says the way that you are to live this new life is to imitate God. He says, you want to know how to live this life? You want to know what you're supposed to do in this new life? You're just to imitate God. He says, learn what God does, watch what God does, and then do it. And real quick, I want you to notice what he says that God does most. He says, mostly what God does is what? Love you. So let's stop there for just a moment because I would imagine that there are some people that need to be reminded of this or need to hear this for the first time. God loves you. Yeah, even you. And yes, even you. God loves you regardless of your past, regardless of your present, your questions, your doubts, your mistakes, your fears. God is crazy about you. God has created you in his image and he looks at you as his child and he looks at you and says, I love you. That's who God is. That's what God does. God is love and God loves you. And there is nothing that you could say or do that would make God love you any less or any more. All right, so let's let that sink in. I mean, we could kind of wrap it up, go home, that's it. Let's have the band come out for the response song and we're done. God loves you. May not love everything that you're doing, thinking, and how you're acting, but God is crazy about you. And we're gonna get to the invitation that comes with that next. But God loves you, but there is more because being recipients of such great love prompts or should prompt some sort of response. All right, and Paul says, watch what God does. And then do it. It doesn't say just watch, be spectators, observe, Read, he says, watch what God does and then do it, which means this new life with Jesus involves action. It involves following God's lead. It involves copying what God does. It involves mirroring God's ways. Paul doesn't say just gather together once a week when it's convenient, when you're in town, right? When it's not raining too hard to get to the car and it's just too much to go to church and just learn about God, get some information and knowledge about God, listen to sermons, take notes on sermons, sign up for that Bible study, go and learn the stories, learn the miracles, have some memory verses, right? Memorize the verses and then just sit back, hope and pray that things in your life begin to change, that your life is remodeled. No, he says, keep company with God, which is what? Be in relationship, be near, be close to, keep company with God. Do what God does, he says, and you will learn how to live. Keep company with God. Keep company with God. Do what God does, and you will learn how to live. And this isn't just like Paul using this as an opportunity to kind of preach to the Ephesians, even though I said it's kind of like one big sermon. It's not like he's saying kind of like, hey, just watch God and do it, and this is just my opinion, and that's one approach, not all of our approach, but that's Paul's. No, this is teaching that lines up with Jesus' teaching. This is teaching that lines up with something that Jesus said to his disciples, and we read about it in Matthew's gospel, chapter 11. Look at what he says here. Jesus is talking to his disciples, his followers. He's talking to crowds. So there's people near and far, close, not so close. And he says this, he says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. He's asking people, he's asking his followers, he's asking strangers, he's just kind of looking around and he says, hey, are you tired? Are you tired of the way that life has been up to this point? Are you worn out? Are you worn out on how you've been living, how things have been going? Are you burned out on the legalistic religious rules? He says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out? He says, come to me. He says, choose me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. He says, come to me and you will recover what's been missing. He says, come to me and you will recover what has been lost in your life. Get away with me and you'll learn what it means to be filled with joy. You'll learn what it means to be filled with purpose and fulfillment and peace. He says, you'll learn how to rest with me. But then listen to how Jesus suggests that they should live. He goes on to tell them this or to invite them to do this. He says, walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Let me say it again. He says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. After inviting them into relationship, after inviting them to come close, he invites them to stay close, to remain close, and then to learn. He says, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. He says, keep company with me and you'll learn how to live. You'll learn what it means to live a life that is free, a life that is free of all that unnecessary weight, a life that is void of all the unnecessary burdens, a life that doesn't have all of the consequences, the guilt, the shame, the disappointments that you experience when you're on your own. He says, come walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it, and you will learn what it means to live a life that is free, or what's described here as this unforced rhythm of grace. An unforced rhythm of grace. Friends, Jesus invites them to take on an entirely new way of doing things. He invites them to take on a new rule to live by, a new rhythm of life. And it's a rhythm that is dependent upon keeping company with Jesus, walking with him, working with him, and watching how he does it. A rhythm that is unforced. It's not a burden, an obligation. It is this unforced rhythm that is full of God's grace. So let me invite you to think about this question for yourself, this question that Jesus asks his disciples and the people around. And don't think about it for the person next to you. Don't think about how they might answer, and don't shout it out. Let this just be a time for you to kind of think and to reflect on this question that Jesus asks when he asks, are you tired? Are you worn out? Is anyone here tired of the way that life has been going, worn out from the way that things have been? Do any of you have these unwanted burdens in your life? Is there this unnecessary, undesirable weight that just seems to be heavy on your heart, heavy on your mind, is weighing you down? It's impacting your thoughts. It's impacting your relationships. It's impacting the way you're going about life. Are there circumstances that are stealing your joy? Are there circumstances that are just taking every ounce of energy that you have? Are there circumstances that are starting to make you feel hopeless when you once had hope? Are there situations that are getting the best of you? Are any of you tired? Are any of you worn out? Are you burned out on life and the way that things have been going? If so, let me ask you this. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Where are you going for help? Where are you looking for answers? What are you relying on? What is it that you are turning to? Maybe the better question is, who is it that you are turning to? Jesus says, come to me. He says, turn to me, rely on me, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. And he says, then you will discover what it means to live. You will truly discover what it means to live in a life that is free. And so friends, here's the big idea that I have for us today. A rule for living the Christian life is living by the rhythm set by Jesus Christ. A rule for living the Christian life, if you wanna know what that rule is, that standard, if you're trying to write it down, like, hey, just give me the rules, tell me what I need to do. A rule for living the Christian life, notice I say a rule, it's not the rule, it's not the only rule, but a standard, a rule for living the Christian life is living by the rhythm that is set by Jesus Christ. See, Jesus didn't go from person to person and say, watch me do my thing. I'm a pretty good person. I'm a good role model. It's good to just kind of see what I do. Then you go together and share with others who agree and you celebrate each week. And then you just try your best to live up to my standards, but fall short. No, Jesus said the rule, the standard, the way of life, the rhythm of life that you can take on is to live your life with me. Walking with me, working with me, and watching how I do it, and then putting it into practice, going and doing the same. And friends, when we open up the scriptures, when we read the Gospels, which are the first four books of the New Testament that tell all about Jesus's life, his ministry, his death and resurrection, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are the Gospels. When we open up the Bible, when we study the scriptures, when we look at the Gospels, we learn Jesus's teaching. We read stories about how Jesus did things, how he went about life, and we discover the rhythm in which Jesus lived and moved, interacted with others, and invited them to do the same. And it's a rhythm that involves loving the unlovable. It's a rhythm that involves loving the unlovable and the undeserving and the overlooked. It's a rhythm that involves offering and showing compassion to those who are hurting, helping those in need, extending grace to the rebels, welcoming the outcasts, you know, the ones who aren't deserving, the ones that aren't like us. It involves sharing a meal, breaking bread with sinners, forgiving the offenders, offering hope to the hopeless, healing the sick, going after the lost, and embracing the runaways. This is the rhythm. This is the life that Jesus lived and invited others to live. And at every point, in every moment, Jesus extended this invitation to those people to choose him, to walk with him, to get away with him, to work with him and watch how he does it. And in doing so, this rhythm of life that Jesus extended to everyone and anyone around was to come close, to walk, work, and watch. And in doing so, discover what it means to live. Discover what it means to live a life that is free and void of the weight, void of the burden, void of sin and death. Jesus met people. And he met his soon-to-be disciples, his soon-to-be followers, with grace and love. And it was grace and love that changed their lives. And then after engaging them in his fullness of who he is, and who he was at that time and at all times, he then said, now follow me. Come on, join me, participate with me, and you will experience what it means to live. And friends, the same is true for us. As we wrap up a sermon series on what it means to be spiritually healthy, emotional and spiritual health, as we wrap up a sermon series on what it means to have a deep waters faith, we have to do more than just intellectually know it and understand how we are to do it and what it might look like. We are to go about it in our lives. We are to live it and not just know it. And that's what we're about here at Bridgepoint. That's part of the reason that we exist. That's one of the main reasons that we exist. Our mission is to help people, all people, get closer to God. And the way that we do this is by believing in Jesus, living his teaching, and becoming his people. All right, another way that we could understand that, another way that we might be able to put that is this. We help people get close to God, closer to God, by staying close to Jesus, by walking with him, working with him, and watching how he does it, and then going and doing the same. This is kind of the rule of life of Bridgepoint. This is the rhythm, the unforced rhythm of grace that we buy into and that we live into and invite you to do the same. And the reason is because we believe that through Jesus, things change. Through Jesus, lives are transformed. Lives are renovated. Through Jesus, things can be different. Things can look different, appear different, and be different. And we can experience all that God has for us, regardless of where it is that we find ourselves and regardless of where we have been. Jesus invites us. Jesus invites you to come close. He says, come on. Draw close to me. Draw near to me. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Take on this new rhythm of life, an unforced rhythm where you will experience grace. And my prayer for us, whether it's our first time here, whether we're watching online or we've been here for years, is that we will continually accept this invitation so that we can continue to be people who experience Jesus Christ in his fullness in our lives as we go about living this Christian life following Christ. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, there are many rules that we can feel pressured to live by. There's rules that we have to live by, but in the Christian life, oftentimes we make it about rules, a rule book, obligations, a got to and not a get to. It's not an opportunity, it's a burden. And that is the opposite of what we've been invited into through Jesus Christ. The invitation that we receive in Jesus Christ is a life that isn't about rules or standards or rule book alone. It's a life that is about a new rhythm, taking on a rhythm of Jesus Christ, the one that Jesus invites us into. And so as we go about our lives, may we look to Jesus. May we walk with him, work with him, watch how he does it. And slowly but surely watch our lives change and transform and be renovated into the likeness of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
As we wrap up what it means to have a deep water faith, we are to live out our faith, not just know about it. With Jesus, things change. We are to walk, work, watch, and discover what it means to live a life that is free. How are you watching and learning from Jesus today? Thanks so much for listening. At Bridgepoint, we want to join you on your spiritual journey. So if we can help you get closer to God, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can reach us by filling out the short form found at bridgepointfl.com/connectcard. One last thing. We say we're better together a lot around here, and we really mean it. The Christian life is supposed to be lived in community. One great way to surround yourself with other believers is to join a serve team. even if you can't make it to church on a Sunday, our digital ministry team has ways for you to serve and get plugged in. To find out more, just fill in that same Connect card I mentioned earlier and let us know. Again, you can find it at bridgepointfl.com/connectcard. Have a really great week, everyone.